I hate the fact that the evil is happening. But the exciting sense of awareness is that God said when evil men wax worse and worse, that God is going to do greater things than ever before. That's the only good thing about the bad things that are going on, is that God is going to outshine in this last hour everything that is connected with evil. And it's for that reason that lessons like tonight, last Wednesday night, we started this lesson. We will only cover quickly some of what we covered last week. Did you get the new version? Okay. And how does this microphone sound up there? Does it sound better at all? The PA? Can you tell any difference? Can you? Yeah. These speakers sound better to y'all? You glad that cluster's never going to fall on my head? It's cleaned up pretty nice, didn't it? But I live with that awareness. And in the process of trying to minister and teach this lesson tonight, how many of you have missed opportunities that you are now aware that you could have married somebody else? I mean, that you could have... Well, that wasn't good. Is this PA still working? That you could have done something else besides what you did choose to do. You know, there are missed opportunities all over America. And the promotion of opportunity sometimes attracts us, and we forfeit the opportunity we're already involved in. So it's oftentimes that people had a good thing going and too late realized, man, I let the best opportunity that I was already in lose its excitement, its thrill. And of course, I deal with that quite regularly. So tonight, hopefully we will get to the scripture that deals with awake. And I would like for you to say it to start with, because awake to righteousness. You're living in a generation when so many things have become all right that are not all right. You're living in a generation of people that have started accepting things that are not going to be positive in their production. A lack of prayer may open up more opportunity for a lot of things, but the opportunity to touch Jesus every morning, to make sure the light is on the path, and to make sure the strength for the day is in place. Those are things that prayer is designed to accomplish. And so that opportunity has no rival. Knowing what the news is all about has little consequence on your day if we're not going to change what the news is tomorrow. And the only way we can change the news is by producing news worthy life. The only way that we're going to change the commentator's reflection on what's happening in life is for the church to be at its peak, filling, F-I-L-L-I-N-G, the streets and the warehouses and the marketplace and the job forces with great anointing, not shouting. That's not just anointing. I hear people say all the time, boy, he was anointed tonight, meaning he really got loud. The anointing is not so much loud as truth connecting your life. That's anointing. anointing is not so much how forceful he sounded, but it's what ability to communicate the gospel or truth to our life. That's anointing. And so anointing is, you know, it's just the work of the enemy to make everything just a little bit off so that we don't get the real format. And I've tried to really, and this is all foundational to awakening and staying awake to our opportunity that's already prevailing. But trying to make people aware that it's really not the new news. It's just news that makes old news more thrilling. Because if you connect a dollar to another dollar to another dollar, this extra dollar makes these even seem more. One more dollar just makes all the others more valuable. And one more truth, and that's what the Bible says, grow in grace and in knowledge. It's not like that's an option. That's like Acts 2:38. It's a command. But, you know, for whatever reason, because we've said Acts 2:38 so many times, and we don't say grow in grace and in knowledge that many times. Grow in grace and knowledge seems like an option somewhere out there. That's not an option. It was not an option for Lot's wife to decide, I'd like to look back. And we see that when an option is become a command with God, he expects it. And so going to sleep at this hour could become tragic. I don't want to miss the brass ring. I don't want to miss one message that God has for this hour. Perilous times, he said, are coming. I want to be ready for the perilous times. I want to be active, involved, hanging, deliberately, very alert. So, if you will, go ahead and turn the lights low, and let's see if I can preach that good with the lights off. All right, we already covered this, but I want you to see it. Training to rule and reign with Christ is a joy, and that's what church is really about. And if you will really help your friends before they get here, they won't be shocked that we're having the kind of meetings we're having and exercising ourselves unto godliness. Would somebody quote that scripture with me? Exercising ourselves unto godliness. The only way that you make your muscles that are already in place alert to the moment that more is needed is exercising. And so when you have a problem and you by faith push on that problem, you exercise your faith until your faith gets so strong that the problem eventually gets out of the way. You can move hell when you have the faith to believe in heaven. And that stuff is huge. So training is what we're here for. We're training mind. Here, this one really amazes me. People love to quote the scripture, and they that know their God shall be strong and do exploits, and they haven't done an exploit. Ask them when they quote that, what was the exploit you did? It's not enough to dance to music, folks. It's enough that we dance on the enemy's head and deliberately have victory when he says you can't. Right. they that know their God. Let's see. Brother Ronnie, do you think you know Sister Joanne? If you bit her ear tonight real hard, what would she do? See, he knows Joanne. How well do you know your mother, Sister Christy? What would she do to him? Don't say it. I see it trying to come out. I'm here to tell you that until you know Jesus like you know your mate, what would they say in any given situation? What would they do in any given situation? I don't want to know her better than I know him. Am I coming through out there in radio land tonight? Ladies and gentlemen, they that know their God, they know what he would do if somebody spit on him. They know what they would do if somebody mocked him. They know what he would do when somebody ridiculed him. And they that know that God, they are familiar. They are part of that plan. They shall be strong and do exploits. I don't want to go to sleep in the middle of Christianity trying to scale the wall of what God wants for us. So, training is essential if you're going to fight Cassius Clay. We'll find out tonight you have given up nothing of lasting significance. So what if you give up a few dollars? So what if you give up a few things in order to know God in such a way that you can direct the steps of your children, that you can help correct the steps of our city, that you can help bring strength and help to every neighbor by not necessarily bringing them to church and letting the pastor do it, but learning so that our steps are ordered by the Lord, dictate victory in every setting. They see the privations coming. They see, the world sees the difficulties we're having, but we're not surrendering to the devil. What everybody else says, oh my God, if you had all the trouble I got, I'll tell you, you'd need a God. Cohen, you think that's funny, buddy? No. Man, anybody can respond to trouble that way. Jesus looked at trouble and said, get behind me, Satan. I'm on my way to the cross. Get behind me at the cross. I'm on my way to the resurrection. I want to know that God. I want to be a part of that life. I want to know how to do all of that. And I want a preacher somewhere to talk to me about the lethargicness of the hour and how Christianity is going to sleep in the middle of God wanting to raise up a revival that will stupefy hell and put darkness out of business.
Church. My God, let the blessing of the Lord fill our heart.
In Jesus' name. Now, let God show you the unfolded rose tonight through the Word and the Spirit. It's nice to sing when God unfolds the rose and what he's done in the past. But I got news for you. What he's done in the past is minimum compared to what he's about to do in your future. Don't give up now. The church, the body of Christ. Christ is the hope of the church. Christ is the head of the church. The church is the hope of the world. And the church, the body of Christ, is to our world what the body of Christ was to his world. While we are dependents and we are to become dependable, for this to be, we become engaged. Somebody say engaged in the big picture. We're not sitting on the couch watching Jesus do it. We are doing it in his name. We are doing it. He said, I'm going to give you power to do it. I'm with you now, but I'm going to get in you, and I'm going to give your tongue the speech to speak the devil. Get behind me, Satan. I'm going to give your hands the hands to put hands on the sick and say, be thou healed. A man, businessman nearly fell in my arms this week. He told me, he said, "I got a problem, Pastor." I didn't wait. I put my hand on his chest and I said, "In the name of Jesus." And he looked at me astonished and he said, "I receive." They're waiting on us. They are hungry to see us. They want to feel the power that comes out of our altars. Found a lady just sobbing and weeping in my little place there, Brother Ronnie, right close to where we sit there on Sunday mornings. And she was teary-eyed. And I slipped over and found out she's Lisa's daughter. And she's going to work there. But what a prayer meeting we had that day. I'm here to tell you, it's time to invade the devil's territory and take back what God wants to give to this young generation. It is our hour. Don't you wait to get them to church to pray with them. Pray with them wherever you find them. We, Lamar County, may not be as lost or far from God as we think. Somebody say, "He is an ever-present help." Somebody say, "He's an ever-present help." Somebody say it like you mean it. He's right here with us tonight. He didn't come here to listen to us only. He came to talk to us. He came to engage life with us. He came to empower us. He wants us to walk out of here refreshed like a good old bathtub refreshing. How many of you ever worked hard until you perspirated all day? That old boy said there was some sweat coming out of that perspiration. There's nothing like taking a good old shower after your head's full of sawdust or sweated all day. And that's what the Holy Ghost is wanting to do for us. This is the refreshing. This is the rest wherein you shall cause the weary to get up and be inspired all over again. This is like renewing of the Holy Ghost. I am the Lord's. The Lord is mine. We are the sheep of His pasture. He is the great shepherd. He understands the enemy. And He's wanting to keep the sheep well fed. For He shall be as a tree planted by the waters that spreadeth out her roots by the river and shall not see when the heat cometh. But her leaf shall be green and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. Somebody say ways and doings mean something to Him. Jesus, the heart physician, is not asleep. Somebody say He's awake. He wants to give a new heart every day, new energy to it. The shepherd pastor is not trying to deprive. I was thinking again this week, the way that this thing is set up, I really almost came in here tonight and decided to stand like this to preach to y'all. Because the setup is just a natural when I'm talking to you. You're sitting down, I'm standing up. It can just feel psychologically like I'm talking down to you. I promise you that's not what I'm here to do. If anything, I feel like sitting on the floor to talk to you. I do this only because it is an easier way for you to read my lips and to read my eyes and to sense my spirit. But the truth is, when I point my finger, it's not so much pointing at you and trying to come against you, because that's the sensitivity that's so easy to receive. I'm telling you that I am for you. The truth is, I'm pushing you tonight. I know I am. I am so thrilled, Brother Frankie, to be here with you. And you, what's your first name? Nathan. Oh, yes, that's it. And you, wow, what an answer from God she's gotten in the last year. Can you say hallelujah good and loud?
Hallelujah.
Oh, yeah, it's happening. I'm here to push you into more blessing. I'm not here to push you back and make you feel condemned. He said, "I didn't show you light to make you feel bad because you're living in the edge of darkness. I came here to show you light so you could move forward into it. I want you to walk in the light, live in the light, live in the glory, live in the reflection, live in the resurrection spirit. I am the Lord and I don't change, and I am your God and I am here for you." Oh, let's praise him from our heart. I mean, dig it out from our heart. Jesus, thank you for showing up again tonight. There's not anybody that enjoys seeing you have new things any more than your pastor. Not anybody enjoys you getting a raise on the job any more than your pastor. But when that becomes more important than praising him and learning more about him and seeking his face more diligently, the thief has come in. He wants to steal your special time. He wants to steal your stronger time. And that's what he wants to do. But the shepherd pastor is here to not let him steal the best of you, but that you give your heart, soul, mind, and strength to the purpose of the kingdom and watch the purpose of heaven yield its fruit into the purposeful life. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. And I am come that they might have life, said the Lord, that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep. Let's read on. I want to slow down there because I want you to see this principle of that's happening. And the preacher, shepherd, quits preaching about the sheep or the wolf and the spirit of darkness that's trying to prevail and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he's in it for money and careth not so much for the sheep. He's in it for fame. He's in it for people, a crowd. But the chief shepherd didn't do that. He said, I'll take a child and I will work with a kid before I stop fighting hell. I will fight hell for the pitiful and the powerless and the pathetic, but I will only do it for the people that reach out for me. And if they call on my name, you can count on the shepherd. I'll fight hell for that sheep. I'll fight darkness for that sheep. You call on me in the midnight hour and I'll fight that lying spirit. You call on me in that morning hour of prayer and I will fight the devourer that's come to strip you and rob you of your joy and to rob you of your peace and to rob you of your power. I am the chief shepherd, he said, and I won't go to sleep on your shift. But know this, and here he likens it, and I put this here because he likens it to Matthew, where he says, but know this, if the goodman of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house. And see how quickly he moves it over to his house to be broken up. Just pretty easy to think, because we're pretty happy, that everybody in the house ought to be happy. Because we have a pretty good church, that everybody else ought to not have to fight any battles. And I promise you this, I don't care if there's one person that's needing a church service. I'm going to preach to the power of that, and I'm going to expect the rest of the body to surrender virtue to that need that may be happening in that arena. Because if we can save one, that would mean that another one could be saved. How many of you do understand? And I taught on it several years ago, so I don't expect you to remember it. I mean, I know I'm not that great of a preacher, but how many of you understand that the rich man in hell lift up his eyes being in torment and scream for what? One drop of water. Somebody say one drop. Do you know how he got rich? He took care of one penny. And he knew if you could make a penny, you can make two pennies. And if you can make two pennies, you can make four pennies. Isn't that right, Sister Jessie? That's right. And you can just keep adding to it if you'll save. Because if you can learn the principle of making a penny, you can make a dime. And if you learn the principle of making a dime, you can make a dollar. Come on, folks. Bear with me. I'm trying to tell you that I'm not just playing games with the scripture stuff. I'm studying that stuff because your whole life, your kids' life are in my hands as far as I'm concerned. And if I don't give you bread and if I don't fight the wolf, I'm a hireling. And I will not do this for money. Now, don't misunderstand me. Keep tithes and offerings coming. I need to stay alive. All right? We live honest. But that rich man understood one thing. If he could talk them into giving him one drop of water, he could talk them into two drops. He understood the principle. If he could get one drop of water out of heaven, he could get the river. Because he would keep talking until he got the river. They said, "The door shut, sir. I'm sorry, not even a drop's available where you are. You went to sleep on your shift, and we will not wake you up with another drop of water." That's where I'm talking about. I don't want mercy to get so far away from me that I have to beg for one drop of mercy, and they say the door is shut. So the goodman of the house, if he had known what watch the thief would come, would have watched. I'm telling you, you know not the day nor the hour. I can't afford to let you go to sleep, sir. You got two precious daughters that this pastor loves. And I'm going to preach hard to you because I'm going to do everything I can to keep you awake. That boy of yours, I love that boy. I'm not willing for him. I don't care how far away, wherever he is tonight. That's not my problem because God said, "I will if you will." And I'm going to preach it. And God's going to send angels. And he's going to send thoughts. He's going to send powers. I'm telling you, if you got a backslid kid, don't you be worried about him. You just stay alive in the Holy Ghost and keep watching down the road because God went to the hog pen and got him when people can't go to the hog pen and get him. I'm here to tell you, God's able to get out there and get him. You just serve the Lord with gladness. Praise his name every day. Wide awake to the opportunity that when I can't, he can. Therefore, be ye ready. For in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. Watch here just a minute. Now, that asterisk up there is a signal to me that we've already looked at this a little bit. So thank you. Jesus has become, somebody say, my righteousness. You want to know why I want to be at every part of his word? Hide his word in my brain. Hide his word in my spirit. He is the only righteousness I've got. All of our righteousness is as, somebody look at somebody and say, filthy rags. Said, you better get covered up. Some of y'all balked on that second part. He is our covering. He is our righteousness. When the devil looks at us and sees his word, when the devil looks at us, sees the blood covering. When the devil looks at us and sees us walking in the Holy Ghost, he sees the mighty God. He sees the everlasting Father. He sees the Prince of Peace. He sees the glory coming out of the east. He sees the scepter that the Word represents. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to be hid with Christ in God. I don't want to leave myself vulnerable. I want to receive the Word until the Word bleeds out of me. My voice, my actions, my thoughts, my praise, my love, what I love, what I despise. I want the devil, when he sees you, to see Jesus. And I'm going to preach about that wolf. I want you to go to sleep or wants to poison you or kill you. He's not willing that any should perish. Jesus said, "I'll give my blood for you, Brother Eric. But you're going to have to receive it because I won't force anybody to go to my holy city. You're going to have to want it more than you want anything in this world. But I will give you everything you ask for if you will turn to me with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength." Jesus said, "I'm with you now, but shall be in you." When he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you. Somebody say, guide you. The whole option of the Holy Ghost, in many circles, has been overlooked. You shall receive power, Acts 1:8, after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. What is that power?
You're blind. And the Holy Ghost will lead and guide you. When you see an enemy, you're blind to the power of an enemy, because the power of God is greater than the power of the enemy. And Jesus said when he fought the last enemy, which is called death in the Bible, he looked at that enemy and said, I'll give my life so that you are going to be defeated, because I'm fixing to walk right into the corridor of your home, which is the grave. And I'm going to walk in there, and we're going to celebrate it big on Easter Sunday this year. Don't get your neighbors here. We're going to celebrate that event right there. But I'm here to tell you that death couldn't hold him. He stomped on death. That's why he said in Luke 10 and 19, you shall tread on serpents and scorpions and over all of the power of the enemy. All those things live in the heart of the earth and the grave. They are death themselves. The preacher has come to lift the eyelids and to make us aware that that blood is not just something that's religious. That blood cleanses us and opens our spiritual eye so that we can see the powers of life and death, and that life is greater than death. If you can see that, you can praise God on anything. It's phenomenal. Christ in you. I wish you'd put your finger to your chest and say, I didn't just get the Holy Ghost, I got Jesus. And anything Jesus did, that energy level is supposed to be working at me. All right, now let me help you a little bit. Jesus himself could not do many mighty works in Nazareth because of their unbelief. So don't think you're going to be greater than Jesus and that you can work a miracle in a people's life that don't believe in him. Does that help you? Because I'm telling you, we want to go work miracles on people that are atheists and agnostic and they hate Jesus. You're not going to make them do any more than Jesus did. He called all of them, but all of them didn't come. He would have healed all of them, but all of them didn't believe in him. But those who did receive him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. I'm not talking about joining a church. I'm talking about getting in line for this awakening that's about to happen in America. God's going to have a body that is absolutely going to stupefy the Antichrist and cause the Antichrist to stumble. Not the stumble because of the Antichrist. I'm seeing a bunch of Christians, so-called Christians, that are stumbling right now because the Antichrist is having a heyday with people that have been religious. I'm telling you, religion's not going to get it. He said, except your righteousness exceed that of the Pharisees and the Sadducees, you shall have no part in my kingdom. I'm here to wake us up and tell you that somebody's going to have a part. Somebody's going to be involved. And he's calling a people out of Paris, Texas and Lamar County to be involved. I'm not going to be a spectator. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Why would we need him in us if we were to be able to just to watch him? He wants you to do the work. He said he will empower you to do that, and he'll guide you in all of that. The hope prevails when we are awake to the truths that guide us. It's truth that sets us free. The Lord thy God will keep you in the day of trouble. Only as we allow him to keep us awake to his righteous truths. We can't afford to go to sleep and claim to have all power. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And this is not a one-time dose where we get a dose of Holy Ghost, talk in tongues a little bit, and expect to live forever on a dose. That's not it. He said we are renewed day by day. Now, you don't have to talk in tongues every day, but you renew your spirit. Let me just help you a little bit here. Anybody that claims to have the Spirit of Christ and wants to kill somebody and damn somebody and make little of somebody don't have the Spirit of Christ. Now, is that plain enough? That spirit, and that doesn't mean that if you stumble and you fall and all of a sudden you find yourself hating somebody that you can't get back in line. You just rush back in.
Man, I'm glad you sit up here close. Lest thou sleep the sleep of death. The wages of sin is death.
Nothing about God is here to scare you.
This preacher's not trying to scare you, but it ought to scare you to think if you are living a distant from him and you hadn't heard from him in days.
I can't imagine being married and living in the same house with this chick, I mean his wife, and it's that look right there I like. Can't imagine her never saying anything to me.
What was that brother over in Germany preached? When I kiss something, I want it to respond. He was an awesome guy. He was in the U.S. Army, and he was one of the, actually a captain over there. And he had a lot of invigoration. And man, he preached on Sunday morning. I was evangelist over there. And man, I mean, he was rolling on. He started on that kissing something. He didn't want it to be a dead kiss. He said, I want it to respond. I see some of you men feel the same way he did. Except the Lord shorten the days, his very elect would go to sleep. Now, that's not me saying that. I'm only repeating what he said. He said, I'm telling you that the spirit of the Antichrist that doth already work is going to be an invitation to try to take a shortcut to this thing. And he said, that shortcut is that you just don't have to do it all. You just don't have to give it all. You just don't have to really pay that close of attention. You can just be at ease in Zion.
And all of a sudden, the earth-shattering voice comes out of that scripture.
Woe to them that are at ease in Zion.
That, go look up the word woe and see what all blessings are affiliated with that.
Woe to them that are at ease, that are sleeping while the world's going to hell. Woe to the just casual churchgoer who just goes to go to church. Woe, woe, woe. And the preacher says,
I'm trying to get you to follow truth, because truth is going to not only escalate you to power here, it's going to escalate you into a body like you've never experienced in your life. I'm talking about a new body, a heavenly body, a glorious body, a body that will never need to have another drug or pill or doctor, a body that will never do any experiential thing like we are having to do with so many.
Spirit can manifest itself in any form necessary. How many of you have ever met a really beautiful lady that you thought must be about the most beautiful lady you've ever seen? Now, you ladies, shut your eyes for a minute, because they're not looking at you, so I guess we're looking elsewhere. Nobody's looking around here. Where are you looking, guys? This is not some deal. This is a real deal. Only to find out she was hateful. She was filled with jealousy and envy and strife. You see, beauty has been known in our world as only skin deep. I don't care how handsome he is, how much money he's got. If he is a whoremonger, he is horrible. I'm not letting the wolf in. On my shift, I'm going to preach against the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. I don't care how she dresses. I don't care how cute she is, what kind of figure she has. I don't care about all that stuff. I'm telling you, I'm looking for the righteous children of God, and I am going to preach until we conform to the very image of His image, and that is God could manifest Himself as a man. God could manifest Himself as a cloud. God could manifest Himself as whatever, but I'm going to tell you, the devil can manifest himself too. Don't you ever forget it. He comes as a handsome person only to put to sleep those sensitivities of those men and women that are vulnerable. And therefore we now have men working with men, that which is unseemly. That is Romans the first chapter and the last verse. And women working with women, that which is unseemly, because spirits manifest themselves in ways. And I got all tangled up at a restaurant, at a place of business here a while back, because there was used to be a man that worked there. And all of a sudden I came in one day and it was a lady that looked like that man. And I got all confused and I said, "Hey man, I didn't know you had a sister." I had a guest with me. I was swallowing my tongue. All of a sudden, I don't. And I'm like, "Oh my God, what have I just done?" And then I got riled up and I said, "It wasn't me that did it. They deserve it." Hello? Not going to let the thief in on my shift. I'm not letting the wolf come in on your kids on my shift. We're still going to preach the righteousness of the King. And we're going to live awake to the subtleties of Satan that introduce kids and introduce people to that ungodliness. I wish somebody would say it good and authoritatively. I plan to go to heaven. I plan to walk streets of gold. And I plan to take my family. I don't want my family to have to listen to the wolf so long that the howl of a wolf is greater than the howl of the cross. I want the cry of the cross to mean more to my kids than any howling wolf out there that sounds so courageous and bold and fierce and glorious. I'm telling you, I've seen some pretty wolves. And a few of them I'd like to make my pet. But they ain't going to happen. I don't even like dogs much. The only reason I like some of them is because y'all own them. A spirit can manifest itself in any form necessary, even the spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. I can tell you right now that the spirit of truth can literally manifest itself in you until you could actually go back there and hug one of your enemies. Just pick out somebody that... Just imitate it, okay? Just Brother Dale can handle it. Brother Bob and Brother Sister Jesse can handle it. I'm here to tell you, somebody say, a spirit can manifest itself in any form necessary. You don't have to be an enemy to your enemies. You can be a savior to your enemies. Love the lost. Pray for the unsaved. Love and care for the whoremongers. Love and care for the adulterers. Love and care for the adulteresses. That's this church. That's our Jesus. That's the spirit of the Holy Ghost. It reached me way down yonder somewhere. I can't thank Him enough. He has brought me from so far away. I can't dance enough. If He likes dancing, I'm in for it. It's not that I enjoy it so much. It's just that He enjoys it. He said, "Praise the name of the Lord with a loud voice." Well, I don't always like that, but I'm going to do it if He likes it. He's my benefactor. He's my Savior. He's my Lord. He's my righteousness. He's my holiness. He's my glory. He's my joy. He's my peace. He's my love. There's not anything about Him that's bad. He is all in all. Oh, I will not leave you comfortless. I don't care where you are. One of the greatest miracles we've had recently, right here, stand up and just lift up one hand.
Isn't that awesome? Smile at some of those people over there. Look at them. They love you, Sister Bernice. They are so glad for the miracle of God. When I hear the miracle that happened in their life and I watch what God is doing, I'm here to tell you He's alive evermore. He has not forgotten where you are, what you're going through. I don't care who you are. At that day, you shall know I'm in my Father. You and me, and I and you. Just as we know not the hour of His coming, we do not tire of responding. Oh, the Lord is coming back to earth again. Does anybody remember that song? Oh, the Lord is coming back to earth again. Brother Ronnie will help you.
Satan will be bound 1,000 years, will have no tempter then, after Jesus shall come back to earth again. Oh, the Lord is coming back to earth again. Yes, our Lord is coming back to earth again. Satan will be bound 1,000 years, will have no tempter then, after Jesus shall come back to earth again.
Oh, could you praise Him for the hope that lies within you? It's not that you just got the Holy Ghost one day. You got Jesus. Christ in you, the hope of glory, the spiritual leadership of the Holy Ghost, says, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hill from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord which made the heavens and the earth. He will not suffer or allow my foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not go to sleep. He that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. I'm telling you, the Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade. Upon the right hand and upon the left, the sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore, from the time you know or believe this until the day that that power escalates us into a new body that can fly with wings greater than the best eagle you ever have watched. Insomnia or sleepwalking. What was that shot about? Are you surprised that you're part of the program? We'll get a little deeper. She knows where it's going. Walking down the hall of her home, sound asleep. And you ought to hear her little brother tell about it. Flowers? Flowers? Sound asleep. Don't tell me you can't go to sleep walking. I mean, be asleep and walk. We got living proof. Most of us have strong moments of sleepwalking. Can walk right past somebody that has a need. Has a desperate need. This old man right here, he's pretty strong. But I'm going to tell you something. His wife will tell you he's got some tender spots. Still means something to him. For a brother to come up and say, you know what? I really appreciate you, Brother John David. We can walk right past somebody that's desperately needing us.
That's a good effect, don't
it? What do you think? Your neighbor even went smiling over that. Don't tell me we can't affect this city. We just got to be awake to every opportunity. Hello. Well, they may never say hello back. But I'll tell you what's going to happen all day. God's going to remind them. There's some people that are still friendly. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother.
And guess who that is? Jesus. Well, Jesus in us, the hope of glory. Christ in you. I am with you now, but I shall be in you. The Holy Ghost isn't just a little ticket to get the glory. The Holy Ghost is a guide to lead us to people like this that are looking. It's hell to go through the sickness his wife went through. It's hell to go through the back pain that you have experienced in life. It's sort of hellish to walk with a sister like that. And then you've got your own complications. It means a little something for you to pat them on the head and rub them a little bit like your puppy. You're going to be all right. Your brothers and sisters are praying for you. She's getting out of that timid stuff. This preaching's really helping her. Jason, you didn't just come to another meeting place, buddy. I'm telling you, we take life serious here. You mean something to us. I don't care how new you are. How long you been here now? 48 days? Yeah, 48 days. Let's say 48. Anybody know his name? You're already weaving into their last name. How many knows his last name? Not Demon. What? Awesome, folks. We're a family. We have fun together. We cry together. We work together. We labor together. We join our hearts together in everything we do. We are the people of the God, the only wise God, the only glorious Savior, the only coming King, the only risen Messiah. He is our God, and we're not ashamed to be called the people of the name, the people of the powerfulness of a family whom heaven recognizes as the body of Christ. Totally unaware of danger. I will never forget. I don't know if it's on here or not. I meant to put it if it's not. But we stayed up at a Boy Scout meeting, Brother Ronnie. And man, thank you for the years you kept the Boy Scouts alive. But because I was a Boy Scout, and I'll never forget. We stayed up all night, and then we had a ball game at the church the next day. And I'm standing out in the field, eyes wide open, had my glove in place. I'm playing center field. And all of a sudden, there's a ball laying here beside me. And everybody looking at me saying, "What's wrong?" I was asleep. My eyes were open. My glove was hit right here. And the ball lands right beside me, and I'm oblivious. And I said, "I missed it." I said, "No, you were asleep." How much do you have to tell people, "I missed it"? It's laying at my feet. My opportunity is gone. I was asleep, aloof to the sense of death. Too many are walking right into its arms. I want to make you aware, sir, that kid, he didn't ask to come here. He needs the experience of hearing. Experience of hearing you praising the name of the Lord, because he is going to emulate you. I promise you. Because a spirit will manifest itself. And you can't fake worship. We too often read the Bible with ideas of him perfecting this earth. He's going to use you. Have you ever had anybody use you? Hello? How many of you want to be used of God? That's all I needed. Come on. He's ready to use you.
Yes, sir.
Turn around and smile at him, because you're the only God many of the people on your job are going to see, because the invisible God lives there. And he said, "I'm going to make you a light. I am the initial source of light, but I'm going to put it in you." See if you can find somebody to make them smile. You may have to work at it. Some of them's pretty bent on doing what they want to do. He's got 4 or 5 already converted. Don't tell me we can't convert this city.
Don't tell me we can't change their mind about apostolic lifestyle and glory. Don't tell me we are too late. No, 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 no. I don't care how many days we live without it. We fix and eat the bread of life. And that bread that is the bread that the wolves don't like, that the sheep love, the sheep feast on and the sheep get fat on. The perfecting he wants to do for us is to awake us to every opportunity. Some things we stall at. We all have had those moments. I wish I would have known sooner, because we have developed habits while we were asleep to the righteousness. Ten Commandments could not keep them alive. Couldn't keep them sensitive enough. And that's why you have Hebrews the 8th chapter for finding fault with these. He said, I'm going to come and I'm going to be a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. I am with you now, but I'm going to be in you. There'll never be a split second that you won't have the advantage over the external powers of hell. Did you get that? He wants to live, not bedchamber, in our soul, in our brain. He wants to be alive. He wants to make you alive to the pastor's wife that's looking for a big smile. See how easy it is to get her to smile? It's awesome. Spiritual truth that we tend to struggle with. The heart is deceitful. Desperately wicked. Who can know it? It convinces us that we don't need mom and dad to train us. Convinces us that the preaching the word is not so necessary. Anything to anesthetize us against the awakening of righteousness. Asleep to the giant possibility of life in Christ. Even though we read it in his book, it
is not impossible for you to become Christ in a dark, degenerate society. It is totally possible that you are about to rise above the normal and you're going to be escalated by the Spirit. No, stand on the bench right now. Yeah, it's going to take the word to get you up there, but
that's what I'm talking about. He said, I'm going to make you very visible, because you're going to be such light that people are going to first of all make fun of you because they don't believe anybody can live there. But after they've made fun of you for a while and you've kept walking in the light as you are in the light and have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus continues to cleanse us from all filthiness of the flesh and the lust of the spirit, all of us are going to say, he's real. I'm going to close with that. The musicians are coming. Jim Sabin, one of my youth pastors in Ohio, was a phenomenal mannequin. May he stop right here. And he would stay there for the longest. And man, you know, at first you think, he's real. And then you get to thinking, he can't move. He must not be real. So one day we're eating at Brown Derby Steakhouse, one of the nicer steakhouses in Columbus, Ohio. And they have this phenomenal plant setting right as you come in the door. And Jim took the posture by the plants. And several people walked by and admired the mannequin. And these three ladies finally came in and they stopped right in front of him. And they knew he couldn't see them because he's a mannequin. And they started talking among themselves. And the one said, he looks real. The other said, he's not real. And about that time, Jim smiled real big and sort of fell toward him. And that third one said, he is real too. He's real. He's very real. I've had him comfort me. Some of the most dark nights of my life, or I would not preach him to you. I had him just this past week give me information that was so vital to some people, to their life. He can be depended on, Eric. I have no problem preaching Jesus. I would have an extreme problem preaching me to you. You're a better man than I am. But with Jesus, the Holy Ghost really is Jesus inside you. Don't you ever let it be thought that that's a lesser spirit than the one that went to the cross. Somebody say it again. Christ in us, the hope of glory. That's why I preach Jesus the same yesterday, today, and forever. There's not a day, not a day, not your worst day, not your worst night, that he quits caring, that he quits sharing, and that he quits reaching. Your kids need to know that. You say, well, Brother Meyer, that may make them go away. No, 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 no. They like clean better than they like dirty. They just don't know that when you get dirty, you can't get that clean that quick. Sometimes you have to scrub a little bit to get the memories out. But I promise you, you can't do it by yourself, but the blood will wash away the memories of bad living. Just take a bath in the Word, because the Word produces the blood, and the blood produces the life, and the life produces His glory. And that's why the sign says, the UPC revealing His glory. Because you reveal the glory of what it's like to be forgiven. Because the blood never loses its power. Could we stand and magnify him in just a solemn way while the musicians lead us? And this altar is always open. Sometimes it's just nice to have an altar area to go to reestablish covenantal promises. Father, thank you for this people that care. They have not only endured preaching, I have watched them join themselves to the preaching of the Word tonight. I have watched them reach out and imbibe that. That's it. If it's right, join your hand with somebody close. Put your hand on their shoulder. If one